Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. We are live here on the Red Men TV YouTube channel. It is the Red Men podcast. Nobody say fuck. Doesn't matter. Never has and it never will. Chris Pajak joins me. Ross Chandler joins me. And Ben Kelly 776 joins me as well. good to see everyone. Everyone's smiling faces today. Our kickoff question this week comes from our very own Amy Lawrence, who smashed this one, I thought. If you are only allowed to cook your eggs in one way for the rest of your life, which way would it be? Now, I know he's going to have an opinion on this, so I'll come to him first.
Are you sure? We'll be here a long time. A very long time.
It's a quick question, Chris.
It's not a quick question. You can't ask me a food question like that and expect a quick answer. So the first thing you've got to consider is, what is the nicest?
Which is your favourite?
The nicest one for me is the poached egg. But I don't want to get into a situation where I'm cooking breakfast for 10 people, which does happen. You know, you have family parties and all that type of stuff. And I'm having to cook 20 poached eggs just because I can't cook fried or scrambled eggs anymore. That's a ridiculous situation to be a part of, isn't it? So I think I've got to take into consideration ease as well. But then I'm like, you can't just ignore the Spanish tortilla. Like, no one can ignore the Spanish tortilla, can it? Because, I mean, when you're talking eggs and you're talking potatoes, nobody does it better than the Spaniards. And I mean, I want tapas. And you're telling me I go to Spain and I can't have no Spanish tortilla. I can't make no Spanish tortilla here. Well, I'm telling you no, my friends. But then I'm like, well, I love a scrambled egg as well. Love a little scrambled egg. It's lovely. So then I'm just deciding like the scrambled. Easiest one. The easiest one's fried. Because you can't give up a yolk. There's no way, no one here is giving up the runny yolk, surely. And if you are, you're fucking crackerjacks. So it's got to be fried for its ease, its simplicity, and its versatility in the egg market.
Perfect. So fried.
Yes.
Ross?
Well, I agree, but I sort of disagree. I'm going omelette because I think on variation, ease, and you know, you're not eating just a fried egg, just tastes the same every time. An omelette, you can mix it up. You've already mentioned the Spanish omelette. You've got a frittata. You could probably push it towards a buddy quiche as well, you know, if you really wanted to. The variation of flavours you can have in an omelette is, you know, it's just wild, isn't it?
To its omelette. Just going to cook it in different ways, Josh. What? Just going to cook it in different ways. That's ignoring the rules.
Not really. It's a variation on an omelette, isn't it?
But a frittata's done in the oven, chef.
Yeah, but you can put an omelette in on a stove and under the grill.
God almighty. Yeah, I'm watching the audience. I'm just mentally picturing the audience retention figures on this. Just going for a quick loose
We're both right.
Everyone talking. Fucking hell. What's your favourite type of egg?
That wasn't a question.
Chicken egg.
Chicken egg. Ben, what are you doing?
I don't have the vast egg experience of these other two.
Experience, if you
will. Oh, Ben, you just have it.
I'm just not as quick-witted either. I'll tell you something now, I've never even hard-boiled an egg myself. So it's just scrambled egg on toast, and that's the end. That's all I ever
do. How do you make your scrambled egg?
Stop. He's never hard boiled an egg himself. What? What?
It's just never appealed to me. It's just never been something that I've wanted to do.
Egg and toast soldiers.
No.
You haven't lived. You had no childhood.
No, I haven't lived.
Fancy
okay,
for Wigan.
Well,
too fancy.
Too fancy for Wigan. You should. Yeah, I agree. We agree to disagree there.
Pasties, though, surely.
They dip raw eggs. pies.
Yeah, we put them in a pie. Yeah, they're just an egg pie. That's what we have. Joss, to answer your question, I put the egg in a pan and then just stir it a bit and put it on a plate. That's how I scramble it. I'm probably upsetting people by saying that, but I don't do it very often.
Fried egg. Right, we'll move on. Fried egg. Because I like fried eggs the most of the eggs.
You tend to order a lot of poached eggs for a man who's so vociferous in his...
I haven't had a poached... I've eaten maybe one poached egg in the last 10 years. Yeah. I like poached eggs, they're fine, but... Whatevs. Let us know your favourite type of egg in the comments. Yeah, and I might make an exception. Right, let's talk free transfers.
That was a cracking one, Paul.
Good God almighty. Ross Bauer in the comments here saying I need an explanation for all of this, yeah.
Oh, we're only yoking.
To be a yoke, surely. Oh,
is good. It me or is it boiling in here?
Extremely hot.
So, Liverpool enter the transfer market at the end of the season, presumably with no money whatsoever, if we're to be believed. So it opens up the possibility of a number of free transfers. Sky Sports did an article. I mean, loads of people have done this, and I'm sure it'll come up more and more again. But Sky Sports did an article to the 58 Premier League players who could walk out of their clubs on July 1st. And obviously, most of them haven't. Some of them have. Some of them have signed extensions till the end of the season, etc., etc. But, you know, I wanted to talk to you guys about what you think. And again, engage the inner footy manager playing all of us here. And the players that Liverpool could do worse than take a little bit of a punt on. Chris, what are your thoughts on this?
50 of them are irrelevant to me, give or take. And I must admit, when it comes to this and I look through it, I had a lot of fun doing it. And I was a bit like, oh, yeah, I could have a little bit of him. I was like, well, actually, is he as good as what we've got, blah, blah, blah. But what it boiled down to... no pun intended that time, was, no, genuinely, I'm going to try and stop that, otherwise I'll end up getting on Lord of the Rings references again as well. We don't want to do that. We don't want a show full of egg puns in Lord of the Rings. So I've gone with the big name players, if I'm honest. Okay. Has anybody gone for anyone? I mean, for a start, I'm taking the Chelsea back up front three, all of them.
All of them.
Why not?
Because why not? Yeah,
G Rude, thank you. Plan B, boxed, no problem. I mean, David Silva doesn't have far to. He could probably live in the same house. I don't mind him travelling. David Silva.
Does anyone know? Has David Silva actually? Does anyone know what he's doing? Is he retiring or is he just moving on?
I thought he was retiring, but the way that the article's written, it just says he kind of. Hasn't decided yet.
He wouldn't be in the article if he was going somewhere else, would he? Because it'd be fucking pointless putting him in.
But they are probably going to sign as well, though, haven't they? There's a couple of Leicester players who they just expect to sign, but they've thrown them in there. And then the other one is Jan Vertonghen, because not the best, but equally better than what we've got as backups. Yeah.
That's an interesting shout, the Ambertongan stuff, isn't it? Because, Ross, you know, he's still a top-quality centre-half, and I know it's been weird. Mourinho's used him weirdly. He's played, I mean, maybe this was just necessity, but he's played a full-back a little bit more than a man of his age should do. But you're right, in terms of, like, quality and depth. If you're going to... The Dejan Lovren conundrum is there, and it's mad because, I'm just revisiting our defeat to Watford where Lovren was got absolutely slaughtered. And, you know, I think a lot of people expected Lovren to move on in the summer. But if he does, it's all well and good going, oh, let's just get rid of Dejan Lovren, or let's move him on for the sake of his own career, or however we wish to phrase it. We don't have a natural cover. And we were going to discuss this a little bit later on, but I think it's worth kind of piling the conversation in on this, because we've seen how hard it is to buy a top quality centre half. I think Seth Vandenberg had a good game in the replay against Shrewsbury, a really good game. But that was I think it's still a bit, he's still a bit young to be putting him in. It's not as cut and dry as just get rid of Dejan Lovren.
No, and that's why I brought up the topic, because I think it's a sticky situation. It's all changed because of the coronavirus and what money that we have got. You've got to be very careful what you pick and choose. There might be a situation where Lovren might have gone, where Liverpool now have to go, well, actually, it's easy for you to kind of stick around for a year. I picked four names out of that list, and Vertonghen was one of them. I think if you talk about having a fourth choice centre-half, I think you can do a lot worse, particularly for a free transfer. It's kind of, it's low risk at that point, isn't it? If he's no good, short-term contract, or, you know, he's got a few years left, and someone will probably pick him up, because we've seen defensive qualities in the Premier League aren't that great for an experienced centre-half. He's been at a big club for a long time. Okay, he hasn't won anything. But then that doesn't mean he can't develop under Jurgen Klopp and alongside of Virgil van Dijk or whatever else. The other thing that I noticed, I watched Spurs-Everton last night, and I think Carragher made a comment on Neville saying that the partnership at Tottenham hasn't been great. Do you chop and change left, right and centre? And you said it there, he's playing left back. But we've seen from centre-halves and Dejan Lovren that they need rhythm. That's something that doesn't get brought up with Lovren. You know, you don't play for five, six games, but come in and do the same job at a Joe Gomez and, you know, a Matip and a Virgil van Dijk does week in, week out. It's hard to kind of pile that pressure on. You just expect them to come out the cold and go actually perform. Because I think you could probably get a bit more out of Vertonghen in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, Ben, have you got anyone there that's drawn your attention on the freeze that you would have in terms of centre-half? Or, you know, again, would you even bother? Do Liverpool actually need to just go and spend some dough and get a replacement in?
I think personally, I mean, obviously the one that we'd all really, really love is Koulibaly, if he's available, if you want to go and spend money on him. But no, I do, when I looked at the list, I did agree with Vertonghen. I think, you know, he's 33, but, you know, he's a good bit of experience with the dressing room as well. You know, that, having more of that can't hurt. And yeah, I think he's obviously lots of Premier League experience as well. I think he'd be a good sign, but it's just whether or not, even as a free, I don't think it fits in Liverpool's sort of transfer mould, if you like. I mean, there's been talk of the 29-year-old Thiago wouldn't fit in with our transfer strategy. We were going to spend money on him. I think even as a free transfer, I just don't see us ever going for somebody over the age of 30, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's a stopgap thing, isn't it? But it makes you wonder what people... Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, is that... We talked about this the other day, actually, on a show, is the gap between our senior players and our middle tier, and then our young players are just a bit too young at the moment. And, you know, in an ideal world, there's nothing wrong with Lovren. Like, again, it gets remembered because some of his worst games have come most recently. But Lovren was having a really good season in the first half of the season for us, and he has had loads of really, really good games for us. And as far as backups go, it's just probably a situation of, like, if Dejan Lovren just wants to try something new in his career, and if that's the case, we might just have to go and get an interim solution for a year or maybe two until one of the young lads does get to that level.
Yeah, I think that's right, Paul. I think, you know, when you look around the league and you think where Lovren is, his backup centre-back's going as fourth choice, I think he's absolutely fine. I really do like it. You know, as much as I don't particularly enjoy watching him play, I get a little bit nervous, I've never not felt like that with a 4-3 centre-half. Like, and yet, even with our fourth and third choice centre-halves, I think the top four, it's a top four partnership. If you were to play Matip and Lovren inward, you know, I think you're still finishing the top four over the course of a season. So when you talk about bringing them in for individual games, I am okay with that. Look, I don't really like him as a footballer. I you know, over the years, there's just... he's just made too many mistakes, but he can go on a 10-game run where he plays exceptionally, no pun intended, fucking hell. and that's kind of where we're at with him, and we've always been at with him. I think, if I'm honest, people are just a bit bored of him by now because he's been here like 6 years. You know what I mean? And we've seen these mistakes for like 6 years, and we're still thinking 2 years ago we were going to get rid of him, and last year we were going to get rid of him. The likelihood is he'll want to move and play first-team football. He believes he's one of the best defenders in the world still. He's got his league title now. He's got a European Cup. He'll probably go on, and Liverpool will probably have to replace him. And I think, you know, my topic later, we're talking about loan signings and stuff. Is Nat Phillips going to be good enough? I'm not sure. Is he old enough? I'm not sure. Is Lovren a better option than Nat Phillips? Yes. Are people bored of Lovren and still want to see Nat Phillips get the chance? Probably.
I think that's an interesting part of the debate, isn't it, Ross? Is that Lovren's? He's just been here so long, and we're starting to have this argument about Origi, which we don't need to dive into today because we did it on the build-up show and we did it on the final word as well to some extent. But there's lads that are like tainted with the past so much. Yeah. Been there so long, you know what you're getting from Lovren, and if we're accepting of that, that's fine. But again, it doesn't matter. It might not matter whether we're accepting of it or not, because given the current environment, you just keep Lovren for another year. Because what's the point? What's the point in having to have a chain and blood a new player in, or run the risk of having your youth players not be good? You might as well keep him. But if we can't, I think Chris is right in so much as that is that we're probably just our opinion on Lovren is just tainted by time as much as anything else.
It's the baggage, is what Chris said before. Like if you're on the stands, we've seen this, we're probably the same with Karius, which we'll probably have a discussion at some point as well, like if people want him back. For the same reasons of like, why do you need that worry in your team? Like, and it's part of a cycle of where Liverpool are at now in their transition. Lovren's also been around for 6 years, but the standard in that 6 years has gone through the roof. And so what we expected from a Liverpool defender 5-6 years ago is completely different to what it is now. Virgil van Dijk, Joe Gomez, Joe Matip have all done that together with the baggage that comes with Lovren, the mistakes. I don't think it's wrong for Liverpool fans to want to get rid of him for Liverpool to do better. That's what they want, isn't it? You don't want those mistakes. I don't think it helps when Jamie Carragher is like going, Jesus, when he's on the ball against Everton and stuff like that. That plays into your mind, going like, Jamie Carragher is like openly saying, Jesus Christ, like basically get rid of him. And he's an experienced centre-half. That also plays into your mind, just get rid of him. But you're right, you're in a situation where why sell yourself short? And it depends what Liverpool want as well. If you want to fight on five fronts next season, keep him.
Yeah, I mean, Jamie Carragher dislikes him so much that we were asking him a question about Gerrard and Brendan Rodgers, and he ended up on a 20-minute rant about how crap Dejan Lovren was. Just to clarify something I didn't realise, Ben, you want to talk about Origi, we will talk about Origi.
Don't
feel the need to scrap that
I asked Ross this morning, was it discussed on the final word, and Ross said no.
I don't watch this shit back, Ben. Fucking hell.
Just to clarify, actually, and this has made this really easy. We asked the question a little bit earlier, obviously, about David Silva and what he was doing. And we got Reece McArdle saying he's moving to Spain, followed by Sean Callis saying, I thought he was going to Qatar. And then someone going, he's going to Qatar.
MLS, so brilliant. Thanks, everyone. China. We've had all kinds of answers to this. So the answer is no one has a Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. He's keeping his options open to the answer.
On the other free transfers, you know what's quite funny is that in terms of quality of footballer available and age and all that kind of stuff, if we didn't already have Adam Lallana...
Yeah, he was on my list.
Yeah. You take Adam Lallana on a free transfer all day long, given the current climate, Chris.
Yeah, but I'm bored of him, lad.
That's right. The only reason we don't want Lallana anymore is we're just done. We're just done with Lallana. And I think about him just to pick up on him, Chris, because obviously I'm sure we'll do a lot of round in the season up and we'll talk about the squad and transfers in due course. Like, but because we've got a summer to fill.
Lallana summer full.
No. Well, yeah, not more longer for some than it is for others. But the Lallana stuff's interesting because what his next move is going to be fascinating, because I think he's a cracking footballer, and I think he gets maligned a little bit. And he always has been, because I think people think Lallana's a bit weaker or a bit more of a shit house or a bit too much of. I don't know what it is, but it's very rare that Adam Lallana's taken to the field for Liverpool, and I've not been impressed by what he's shown us.
Yeah. I try and think back to like players that I can compare him to. Now, I'm not saying he plays like these players, but you know, Gareth Barry, like just one of those, he played for years after probably his peak for the likes of Everton, for example. Lallana could go and do that. Phil Neville's another one who did it at Everton for fucking years. Goes and leaves title winning sides and goes and proves that he's all right. Like, he can play in the top half of the Premier League consistently for about another 8 years. I don't think Lallana's got that long in him. But certainly he'll go to a top 10 club, he'll make a position his own, and he'll go out and prove that he was a good player and worthy of his position in the Liverpool squad. And I'm all
How right good could he sign for? How good a club do you think he could sign for?
I think Arsenal would really like him. I think he'd do really well with Arsenal, to be honest. Don't see him as a Mourinho style player, but I think Arsenal's probably the Wolves, maybe, if there's a space in that midfield.
He's got him, you know, like Arsenal. I think Ross, I think he's got Arsenal written all over him. I don't necessarily think he'll go, he might not go that high, but you know, he's very technically gifted. He's, you know, we know well Adam Lallana's attributes. I think he's a very Mikel Arteta style player. I think he'd love to have him, and he has had injury problems which would suit Arsenal down to the ground as well. If Newcastle
go and be there, Milner though.
Yeah.
Goes Wonder League title, doing a little bit part role, and goes in and brings experience and everything.
I think the only other side I chuck in there is Leicester. You know, you've got the Brendan Rodgers thing. If they get rid of James Maddison, that side as well. I think he's ideal for that role. But you're right. I think he kind of knows his place now, doesn't he? I think he's all right with it, and he's got that professionalism and experience, which I think we'll miss. You know, we say he's all right when he comes onto the pitch, but I think that backroom we have with James Milner, what he does, putting his arm around lads and stuff, we don't really see from Adam Lallana, but you know he's well liked in the dressing room. So I think Chris is right. I think he's got a few years left in him, and ultimately he might want to go to Bournemouth. You know, that's kind of where he started out. It depends if they get relegated or not, but you know, and what his targets are. But if a big club will come in for him, because you're right, we all looked at that list. I had four names. One was Ryan Fraser, William, David Silva, and Vertonghen, and the other one I put in there was Adam Lallana, and that's out of what was it, 50 players that were in that list. And clubs will be looking at that and thinking the same. Everyone will be taking a punt on him as well. The only question is his wages. He's on a decent wage at Liverpool.
Yeah, absolutely. While we're on this sort of topic, you know, the one thing, Ben, that people are talking about is our lack of depth in the fullback position. Well, there's a 29-year-old England international who's on a free transfer as well.
Spain's that young.
Nathaniel Clyne. It's funny, isn't it? You know, again, he's another one who his career's totally fallen off a cliff. He hadn't had an injury in his entire career, and he's had the last three seasons absolutely blighted. He's another one that, like, he's been forgotten about. People have forgotten how good he was. He was England's right back. You know, everyone goes on about Kyle Walker, but it was him. It was him and Kyle Walker as England's first choice right backs.
Yeah, even when in the first couple of years when Klopp arrived, that 16-17 season, he was a mainstay at right back and just seemed to fall off a cliff in summer 2017, and we just never saw him again. But you know, if he can get himself fit, he would do. He probably could do a solid job for any Premier League side. You know, if you think about I think that maybe the only thing he was lacking, if you're talking about a modern fullback now, is, you know, when you compare him to Trent, he's a completely different fullback. He's very good defensively, but he never really offered what anywhere near to what we get out of Trent going forward with the crossing and just the creative play. So I don't know. If teams are looking to mould their fullbacks and get more out of them going forward, I don't think he's as an appealing of a choice. But, you know, there are some teams who obviously like to put 10 men behind the ball and play very defensively. So, therefore, he would probably be a suitable option for them. So, I think he'll find a home. It's just whether he can get himself fit.
Yeah, Everton. He's just a proper right back. Go on, Chris.
How's this for a shout? He goes and plays for Sheffield United because their centre backs are the ones that go forwards. And he just slots in the defensive way.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you mentioned them, Chris. I feel like Leighton Baines might have signed a new contract or might be on the verge of doing it. But he's 100 years old, which doesn't aid his case in any way, shape, or form. But Leighton Baines was good. He was a bloody good left back for a very long time.
He was a bloody good left back. He was probably the best left back in the league for a good 3 or 4 years, maybe a touch longer than that. Well past it now, unfortunately. I actually wouldn't want him. I think he's too old, he's past it. He's nowhere near good enough.
The big one there is that it's Willian, isn't it, Chris? He's the big name there for me. He's one of the few there on that list who I think has still got. I think he's still in the prime of his career. I think he's still got loads to offer. He's got pace. And that's, for me, I mean, he's not in character. He's not like Craig Bellamy. But in terms of what you're bringing in, you're bringing a fella there who's in his 30s, who's not going to play every single week, but he actually would, in his own way, raise the level of Liverpool's squad.
Absolutely. I think, you know, he improves the squad. I think he's a great player. I've always really liked him. Obviously, since we first got linked with him a few years back, it was probably the first time I'd heard of him. And then you see what he's done. And are we only two seasons ago from being their best player? Or was that even last year? It just seems so long ago where he was the Chelsea's player of the year. And then the other thing with him is, there's for what Trent's done this season, absolutely magic. But from free kicks, Willian's better than Trent. Like, there's more output there from direct free kicks and stuff like that. He seems to. And the other thing for me is, and I don't know whether, like, how many goals Willian gets a season, but every time I watch Chelsea, he seems to crop up with a goal. And there's something just for me that just, that's like, oh yeah, you know what? He's a player. He's always causing havoc for the other team. His delivery is unbelievable. And there's a space in the squad for somebody like that.
He's got nine Premier League goals this season, 9 goals and 5 assists in 32 Premier League appearances to 11 in all comps and seven assists. He'll be 32 by the time the next season starts, Ross. But I mean, again, and he'll want a big wage, I'm sure, but I also can't imagine that a bigger club than Liverpool would come in for him.
There are no bigger clubs than Liverpool.
I think there'll be loads of clubs after him, to be honest. I think from what he brings, you talk about experience with Vertonghen and stuff like that, he's won loads at Chelsea. And I think he had that mentality of wanting to push the front three. I don't think it's a case of he's just going to come and sit on the bench, he's going to be happy picking up a wage. He's got to win more stuff. He'll see Liverpool on the ascendancy. And I saw something yesterday about, you know, it was a clip from somewhere else saying, like, there'd be loads of players looking around and speaking to their agents to go and get me to Liverpool. I want to go play for them. I want to play for Jurgen Klopp. There's so much pull at Liverpool now. You know, you think Bobby Firmino, Fabinho will be having a word with him as well. Like, you know, this is really good. You know, so he's going to have no problems trying to settle into a club when he's got people, you know, who are native from his country. But I'd absolutely love him. I think he brings something else. I think he's, with him, develop his game as well. He's a proper winger at Chelsea, whereas he's not going to be. He could be an inverted winger at Liverpool, and he could still improve and still score more goals, and, you know, still make a big name for himself.
I don't think there's anywhere where anyone would, in a normal situation, Ben, I don't think you would be going into this summer happy that if Liverpool brought in Willian and went, there you go, right, we're done. But I think contextually, given the situation and the pandemic, and we don't know where Liverpool's finances are going to be like, I'm not going to sit here and say it would be a perfect piece of business for Liverpool, but it might be a good bit of business considering the context of what we're living in at the moment.
Yeah, this summer, the reality is it might just be that this summer is just about plugging gaps. And that's why the Vertonghen conversation's worth having as well, because, you know, if Lovren's somebody that's going to either, well, go, or even if he sticks around, just having somebody else there to sort of maybe plug a gap for a season until next summer when the picture in terms of transfers might be a little bit clearer, then it's worth thinking about. Willian, I mean, even from Chelsea's perspective, obviously they seem to have more money than everybody else this summer, and the reasons for that have been explained. But, like, you know, even if they're done spending money at this point, they've not got anything left. I don't understand why. I don't think they're going to get better than Willian as a backup. Like, as Frank Lampard now, I'd be trying to keep him. I don't understand why you'd be willing to let go on a free. So, whatever's going on there is quite strange. But, yeah, I agree with Ross. I think if he does go and Chelsea can't keep hold of him, there'll be a fair few clubs looking to sign, purely because, as I say, all those clubs will be trying to plug a gap until next summer. And Willian, even though he's getting on a bit, it might be that he's the perfect solution for some teams to do that for now.
Yeah, I think it's actually... Go on, Chris.
I don't think Liverpool sign Willian, by the way. I think you've got to take wages into it, and length of contract as well. I think as a 32-year-old who's probably had some difficulties with Chelsea with his conduct and stuff a couple of years ago when he down tools for Antonio Conte and stuff, you know, it doesn't strike me as a player that Jürgen would probably want to get involved with. And then you're talking to yourself, well, all right, yeah, he's on a big amount of money, but there's no transfer fee, I understand that. What length of contract are you giving him? Because he's looking for one last payday. He's probably looking for 3 to 4 years. Are you willing? Like, I can't imagine taking a 2-year, in which case this is his last chance to get a payday. So where, like, you're not giving a 32-year-old a 4-year contract on really high wages.
Well, absolutely.
Man United will do. Did it to Matic yesterday.
Oh, yeah. If you're a well-run club, sorry, you're not giving a 32-year-old a new contract on massive wages.
I think the difference in this is, you're right, Liverpool would never give Willian a four-year contract. He might get a 2-year contract, and then that, you'll, and again, we're speculating on how he would react to stuff, but, you know, as I say, it goes back to what I was saying, I'm not sure a bigger club is going to get a better offer than coming to Liverpool. Think of putting the wages and all that and the contract offer aside. You know, if he feels he's got four more years of still playing football, then he can worry about the 2 years after he's had his 2 years at Liverpool. If he wants to do that, I mean, the way I had a look into it, he's not won that much. You know, and I wonder whether there's, you know, he's never won the Champions League. He's won a couple of Europa Leagues, he's won a couple of Premier Leagues, and then obviously the Copa America with Brazil and stuff. He's won more Ukrainian leagues than he has anything else. And whether, you know, it depends on the motivations of these lads. You're dead right. If he's got an attitude problem and it could be a problem, then you don't need that. You don't need to bring a lad in of that age on still very competitive wages regardless. You're right, but there is something there that Liverpool have got that law at the moment. You might think, well, if I can go, maybe I've got two more really good years and I could lift a couple of really big pieces of silverware in that time.
And then I think the other one's like Pedro. I think he's terrific still. Like, he's not lost a bit of pace or anything, but probably the same problems, except you don't have that baggage of being a bit of a tit that you're doing. Yeah. Maybe you don't have quite the goal return that Willian has, and he's not as good as free kicks and stuff like that. I said at the beginning, I'd take all three.
He signed for Roma.
Pedro?
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Two out of three isn't bad.
Bad news, Machin.
I know, yeah. I mean, like, it's like 2 weeks ago, but it's fine. It's a good idea. I like him too, Chris. He's fine, isn't he? I'm sure Roma will have good fun with him. Is anyone they'll therefore not be able to put into their squad we can have off on the cheap? Because that's a nice path well trodden. I like that, certainly. Ryan Fraser, anyone?
Yeah, all day. I'll take him. And even if it's a short-term gap, I think you look at the fact that he's got obviously a rapport with Ali Robertson already. I like the way that he runs. He's pretty direct in what he does when he does get a chance at Bournemouth. I don't like the way he's kind of down tools and got off. I didn't sign an extension, but we don't know the ins and outs. And if there's an attitude problem there, then no. But I think from you look at our backups, and we're going to talk about Origi later on, it's just too predictable for Divock Origi, and I don't think Ryan Fraser is. He's slightly different in the fact that he likes to get to the byline, cross balls in, which may give us a different option. But like, he's got the output and assists for me to actually produce something and have an effect on the team, whereas people that we have a backup now don't.
Yeah,
I think he might be a nice alternative to Shaqiri. If Shaqiri's going to go, it's another one really that it depends whether or not Shaqiri goes. But to be honest, I think he's a bit overrated. What else is Ryan Fraser good at other than running? Can anybody tell me?
Is assist record for a club like Bournemouth is decent, mate?
Right. Okay. Well, I've not. But other than when I've watched him,
other than statistics.
Yeah. But what was Andy Robertson when he joined Liverpool? He didn't watch him week in week out. He didn't produce the levels that he's doing now. Look at potential, Ben.
Very true. Better players around you.
I'm with you.
I'm
on
sticking
this,
to my guns though.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he's all right. I don't think he's a. I don't.
Is I he don't better see... than the backup that we got?
I don't think he's that good.
Like, I'm not gonna lie and tell you I think he's good. I just don't think he's that good.
Is it because you've never watched them really?
No, I've watched them loads. I watch Match of the Day every week, lad. You know what I mean? I've seen Bournemouth games, mate. Fucking you know, he's just not that good, lads.
He's 26 years old. He's got Everton written all over him. You know, he's got like a club who between, you know, one of the, it's got West Ham. He's got a team that could finish between 14th and 7th written all over.
It tells you all you need to know.
Yeah. No, I get it.
He's not good enough.
Yeah, definitely. But he is, to me, the kind of signing that Liverpool at any point over the previous 10 years might have made because of the things that you've listed, Ross. I think he's a good player. He's had good games against us as well in the past. But yeah, you'd like to think, and that's the thing about Willian. I'd rather have a borderline, even if only formerly world class player, than that, because at least you know what you're likely to get. And there's a comment there from the Duck actually live. He's saying, yeah, I agree about Fraser. Shaqiri's better, and that's the point. I think he's smaller than bloody Shaqiri as well. you know, I'd rather have another season as Jaden Shaqiri as an option than maybe someone like that. Look, let's move it on because you wanted to talk about the loan players, and I think this is a big thing, because I've seen someone responding in the comments to what we were saying about the context of where Liverpool are at with the transfer market, and the real context for Liverpool is this: Liverpool's profit is generated by player sales. And that's where Liverpool get the money to spend on other footballers. And until it clarifies itself, if Liverpool can't move on Marco Grujic, let's say Divock Origi, Dejan Lovren, Harry Wilson, and a couple of the players in and around, there's £100 million basically gone out of the kitty until we can get those players moved on. So that might have an impact in: do we have to use those players, or do we have to hold on to them until their value returns?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting for me, is because obviously you've got the transfer markets and how everything changes there, as you know, everyone and everyone in the comments. What the loan players, the players that we've loaned out, mean? Because, we were talking about Ryan Fraser there. I don't mean to dig it out. Like, my opinion is I don't like him. I think we've got a player at Bournemouth who's better than him, to be honest with you, in Harry Wilson. I think there's well, no, he's out of contract. No one spoke about him at the end of the summer.
There's a reason why.
And Brad Smith was there, wasn't he? Little backup left back.
26. He's 26.
Yeah,
Brad Smith's 26.
I mean, I was more surprised that we got what we got for him, to be honest, than how old he is. Was it 5 million or something? 6 million. But no, I think you got lads like Harry Wilson there I've not really heard his name since lockdown ended, but certainly beforehand he was having a good season. I'm not. As au fait on what's happened since then. Then you've got lads like Nat Phillips, who's obviously, was it Schalke he went out to, or was it Wolfsburg?
No, it was Stuttgart.
Stuttgart, apologies, yeah. Then you've got lads like Rian Brewster, obviously Karius, all these type of players. There's lads there that I think could go back into the squad. Marco Grujic is one that we talked about for years. And I wonder whether we're not going to be able to get the money that we want for them this summer because of the pandemic, and do they get an opportunity because of that? Because I think Brewster's definitely coming back in. He's nearly got a 1-2 record. He got another nice little half volley at the weekend, didn't he? Did you see that one, everyone? So he looks like he's coming back in. But the likes of Grujic, could he come back in as a centre midfielder? Harry Wilson as a winger option, maybe?
I think those three names that you mentioned are the only ones. I think Liverpool have to be stubborn and authoritative in this thing and say, listen, you're staying for every reason that Chris has just said. We can't sell you for the money that we've got to sell you for, so what's the point? Stay with us, we'll use you, retain your value, and we'll sell you next year. Just give us another year. So that's well, Bruce, I think, has got a longer term, but like to Harry Wilson, Grujic, stay, because we need you. You're losing Adam Lallana, which Curtis Jones will come into that fold, but why not have all the bodies that you can have? I know it might come down to wages at the end of the day, and again, that's complicated with not getting sales from ticket revenue and corporate stuff and whatever what they can afford. But just say we want to fight on all four fronts next season. We need these players I want to go for every cup next season. I want to do what Manchester City done with a chop to Man City fan yesterday. And he said the difference is when you look at the bench. Well, imagine having a Harry Wilson on the bench or him starting in Carabao Cup games and FA Cup games. Like, I know I think you're going to have to shoehorn him in for a year. I know, just because he doesn't suit our style of play, but like Chris said, put him on a wing or put him in a 10 role or whatever he does, or you've got someone for free kick situations, or you've got someone who's built up experience. I don't know what else he has to do to get into that Liverpool side, because he's done well at Derby, he's done well at Hull, he's done well at Bournemouth, who haven't had a great season, but the standard at Liverpool Football Club is just much higher than what we need him to be, and his style of play is slightly different. But just say, listen, and same with Grujic, stay here for a year, and the rest of them are not really that bothered about, to be honest. But Karius needs to go.
Yeah. Ben, what do you think about the Harry Wilson stuff? He's got 7 Premier League goals in 27 appearances this season for the Bournemouth side. He's been frankly gash. It's all well and good. I agree with the notion that Ross has got there about having the bodies and having him in there, but he's a human being at the end of the day. And I don't know whether... I'm not sure he gets a game, or enough games to satisfy a lad who at 23 probably needs to go and play, even if it's the detriment of Liverpool's finances.
No, I think you're right. I think maybe we're taking for granted, is it the right phrase? Maybe we're kind of underestimating, because we've been so used to having a squad for all this time where the likes of Harry Wilson might be able to get a game, good players. But now we're no longer here. We're right the way up here. So we're having the conversation about Harry Wilson, who's a good player for a club like Bournemouth, who's going to get them the odd goal. He's a good set-piece specialist and all that. But when he comes to our squad, suddenly Liverpool have a world-class squad, and we need to get used to that as fans, because we're entitled to now talk about the players and be ruthless with the players that we talk about and get rid of the ones that aren't good enough because we can afford to do that. So for me, I mean, Rhian Brewster has the potential to be world-class. Marco Grujic has the potential to be a good squad player for me. I mean, you know, watched a little bit of the German football. He was all right when that, you know, that was on. You know, bearing in mind that everybody, you know, wasn't quite up to fitness, he seemed to be okay. You know, it depends what happens with Adrian for me. I think, you know, whether the confidence in Loris Karius has completely gone, it probably has, but, you know, it's a conversation worth having. If Adrian wants to go, again, we're in the pandemic, who else are you going to have as a backup goalkeeper? You know, it's difficult to say. So, yeah, Harry Wilson for me, I think a couple of years ago when I was doing the development watch and he was playing for the under-23s and he had his first loan at Hull, I was kind of raving about him, but he just didn't really seem to kick on from there. And from what you were saying about, he's going to want game time as well. He's a very driven player who believes. He's a bit like Curtis Jones for me. He believes, he backs himself. He's, you know, he's got confidence in himself, and he'll be wanting to play consistent football. And I don't think he's going to get that at Liverpool.
Yeah, he. I mean, the problem we've got with Harry Wilson, Chris, is that he doesn't play in any of the positions that we play in our team. You know, I mean, he can play on the wing, but he's not got pace. So you're having to completely change your style of play to bring Harry Wilson in on the right. He's left-footed. You know, so you're playing him on the right wing. There's too big a drop-off of it. If Shaqiri's a bit of a big drop-off, that's kind of the issue with Wilson. And we've talked about, could he be converted to do a job? Well, do you bother the time converting him when you've got Curtis Jones there who can just come in and do that job straight away?
It depends for me on what the reality of the situation is, because if the reality is we're not signing anyone, then I'd rather have Wilson than nobody. Because I just think that's stupid to then sell him, because you can throw him on the right wing if you've got a problem. The left wing if you've got a problem, where he can cut in and use that shooting boot. You know, a la how Coutinho almost used to play that position. Mane's understudy, as it were. So for me, you know, when I look at these players and I'm thinking, right, Brewster's a shoo-in, certainly. Ben Woodburn, no, although he's just come back from injury, just don't think he's got what it takes. Wilson, I think, has proved more than Grujic that he can do it in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. And more than Brewster that he can do it in the Premier League. And more than every other player we've got out on loan that he can do it in the Premier League. And because of that, I'm more willing to give him a spot that we probably don't have. I think you are right, Paul. We don't have that spot for him that's natural to him. But because he's done it in the league, and every single time he's gone out on loan, he's done well. He's always and he's gone to different levels, and he's been the best player in the team. And then he's come into the Premier League. 7 goals in the Premier League is a bloody good return for a young kid. And I think sometimes we forget that. I mean, we were talking about it. Willian had 9. Willian's a former world-class player. You know, this is a lad who's playing in Bournemouth side. And really struggled at times this season. So I think he's shown enough just from his loan spells to each of those 3 clubs that he can do a job. And I'm not saying he's the answer, but I don't think we're in the time when you're going to bring a lone kid back and they're going to be the answer, unless you name Rhian Brewster, by the way.
Yeah, apart from Brian Brewster, who's obviously world class. It will be. There'll be a thing on this with Wilson, because, again, Ross, it's all well and good. We say bodies, like, we just get to keep these lads, and they're fine just because of the glory of being at Liverpool. But you've gone to go from playing a full season of Premier League football to he's only ever going to get a game for Liverpool when there's a major injury crisis. Because even in like the cup games, you still got Minamino still needs to play games. Brewster will need to play games. Jones will need to play games. You know, you look, Oxlade-Chamberlain and Naby Keita can barely get a game at the moment for us. He would come in and he would be fine to have you're better having him than not having him. But even the idea that he's going to play the League Cup games, only if Liverpool end up flying out to another continent again. And even then, you know, he'd probably end up on the bench for the first team rather than actually getting the League Cup games.
But why can't he be part of a rotation? Why can't we go stronger in those cup games? because you've got an extra body, and it's a short-term solution. Like Chris said, it's not the answer, but the situation we find ourselves in where you can't sell him for the price that you would have got pre-COVID. So why are you selling yourself short? Why not be selfish and say we can retain your value? You can get some experience. So what his other option is another loan move, and whether he wants that or not, or you can stick around here with a bunch of winners, learn some more stuff, potentially win something, and then he can have your move.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
But is he good enough? Sorry, is he good enough for that back? Is he good enough for that backup? For that second choice team is the thing. Is he still on the bench? You rotate heavily. He's probably still on the bench for the League Cup team. And then is what? Can you satisfy him that way? Sorry, Chris, go on.
The flip side of this, of course, is that, and I think I fall foul of this more than probably anybody, is we all say, like, you're not going to get the value that you want for him. Well, the whole market's changed, hasn't it? I think, you know, so what was 30 million might be 15 now, but if you're buying someone and you're able to buy them in the same market, like, that 15 million still a good 15 million, I suppose. And I'm one of the ones who likes Harry Wilson, who thinks we probably should keep him around. But if you get 15 to 20 million for him, and then it's only 30 million for Thiago, I'd rather have someone like a Thiago who's going to fit in the squad, who's actually going to improve the first team squad for an extra little 15 million or something than Harry.
But in a year's time, that market could reverse again, couldn't it? Once, you know, if we get fans back in stadiums and people got money again. From my point of view, I think it's worth holding on to him so you get that back in a year's time.
Totally agree with that. But it's like, what are Liverpool playing? Are they playing to win the league next season? When you see teams like Chelsea going out and not being interested in, you know, holding back. I mean, the rumours are they still have to have it. You know, we know they've signed Zajac and everybody else and Werner, and they only signed the young American, like, not fucking 12 months ago. So they're piling money in. And I think we've got enough to stay ahead of them by a mile. But equally, you've got to look at the big picture, short and long term.
The big picture is selling them next season to what I put it towards Mbappe.
Probably. I'm not sure his 20 million is going to make too much of a dent. You might buy Mbappe's left foot for that.
I think it's an interesting one, and Harry Wilson will perpetually, for me, fall in the gap there. And his only, the thing is about selling him, you're right, is that if the overall market is deflated, then it means that the players you're buying are cheaper, are a reduced price as well as the players that you're selling. But it's whether you can sell him at all, because the clubs that all of a sudden that you're like, Bournemouth are not going to have money. Bournemouth are just not gonna have money at all, because they're not big enough, and they might go down as well. You then got it's that gap of the clubs. If he's ready to make it, he might be good enough to actually step up to a top half team, because those 7 goals could be invaluable for a team like a Crystal Palace or whatever, who are looking to just solidify themselves, and they might be just about comfortable enough. But this, we don't know it yet, but the impact, people are saying that clubs are still spending, but we haven't, are the clubs outside of the top 7 or 8 and down to that, like, just above the relegation zone, are they going to have money to spend? Because again, Bournemouth have been spending silly money. Palace have spent a little bit of silly money down the years. Is that where the market's going to shrink the most? Because that's where Liverpool make their money. Yes, they make it periodically to selling a superstar at an overinflated price to a big club, a la Coutinho. But really, our money's made on 10, 15, 20 million transfers to those clubs who like to think they can crack Europe, but never will. and it's whether they still exist in the transfer market in the coming seasons is going to be a big question. But anyone else you think in terms of the loanees or whatever we might have a little bit more, Ben?
No, is my answer. Is that, I mean, I agree with Chris very briefly mentioned before. For me, Ben Woodburn's always been too lightweight. That was his problem. He was, you know, I know obviously there's good examples of lightweight players making it, a la Lionel Messi. But I think Ben Woodburn was never, you know, he gets that goal against Leeds. He just never imposed himself on games. He never had the presence to do that in the Liverpool side for the rest of that season. So I don't think he's good enough. Ovi Ejaria, again, I can't remember anything of him. And I think, you know, loanees or the young kids, you know, this list of players that I'm looking at, you know, there's players that I can remember doing things, and Ovi Ejaria isn't one of them. But for me, Nat Phillips, I think he sticks around next season, particularly if we don't sign any centre backs. And I think you've got, you know, it depends what pre-season looks like. But you know, you see, again, you monitor how he does in pre-season, and then he becomes probably the fifth choice centre back. I think Dejan Lovren will end up staying as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably just out of necessity again, much I think. Liverpool are going to be tested, Chris, on their character and their morals, I think, in this transfer window, because this thing, Harry Wilson will want to play football. Dejan Lovren will probably want to play football. Marco Grujic will want to go and play football somewhere. And if they can't be guaranteed that game at Liverpool, they're going to want to be transferred. And it's whether Liverpool are prepared to, because again, those three or four players or whatever, in the pre-COVID market, is probably £100 million worth of transfers that we might have. You know, are we going to be prepared to just cut our losses for the sake of the players? It's going to be big. That's going to be a big test for Liverpool.
I think it depends on the type of person that they are. I don't necessarily agree with the fact that they're all going to start kicking off, because I don't think they've got the reputation to kick off and demand football. And yes, they might want to, but will they leave Liverpool Football Club for that? I think one of the things we've seen, certainly from Harry Wilson, is this, that he wants to be at Liverpool. You know, he's come out and said it, you know, I want to be here. That's why he keeps taking loan moves and not, you know, permanent deals away. And if I'm Harry Wilson and I say that, I'm looking at Curtis Jones going, I'm better than him. Like, I believe that I'm better than Curtis Jones. I can see that Curtis Jones is getting football. I can see that Harvey Elliott's starting to get minutes. And I can see that Williams is getting minutes. And I maybe back myself because of that. Not think I need to move. I'm looking at going, I can get some footy here. I just need to get my foot through the door. And there's sliding doors moments in people's careers, isn't it? And it does make me think that the pandemic is going. Someone's going to come out of the pandemic who probably would have left the football club, who may just force themselves in. And I'm not saying it is Wilson, by the way, because I don't actually see him as a long-term fit for Liverpool. I do think this season you probably do just keep him around with everything that's going on. But like, you know, certainly maybe it will be someone like a Brewster whose progression into the first team is transitioned quickly because of COVID.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that we'll never be able to judge is that obviously the Curtis Jones and Harvey Elliott stuff is, are those lads at the football club now because they were still a bit too young to loan out and there was no point and they've still got room to develop at being on the fringes and being under 23s? And will they follow Harry Wilson's path, or are they getting minutes because they're just better than Harry Wilson? And even at the young age, the management just thinks you'd rather have them and they've got a better chance of impact in the first team than Wilson. That's the stuff that we're never going to be privy to, because the thing about the gets me with Wilson is he would have played. He'd have had either defo or had minutes over the last couple of seasons because of how things have kind of fallen, and yet Liverpool have opted to chuck him out on loan, and it's whether we've chucked him out on loan to develop him or just to protect his value. Go on, Ross.
We also might be at the stage of, like, when we first got Jurgen Klopp, everyone spoke about how good he was with youth players and how he was at developing them, and Aubameyang or Lewandowski, Goetze, you know, Mats Hummels, them sort of players. He's now got the time to kind of spend with those players. I'm not saying that he didn't before. But, you know, Liverpool, because the squad's so good, he's not. We've seen him integrate those youth players. And, you know, the time might not have been right for Harry Wilson because it just wasn't. But we just won a Premier League. We won a Champions League. That squad can more or less not take care of itself. But, you know, it's at a stage now where, you know, it's high quality. Whereas now, him and the coaching staff, especially with the training set up at Kirby as well, look at all these youth players and go, actually, you know, we can make you better because we're all together. And that could be a case for Harry Wilson just at a later stage in his career.
Yeah, I mean, the issue you have with him is the 23, he should be, I mean, and he might be, you know, this might be his big breakout, might be due his big breakout season, but, you know, sometimes, we said this about Oxlade-Chamberlain the other day, is that sometimes you can just get players a bit late, and if he was 2 or 3 years younger, he might have been in with a bit more of a chance, but whether he's just missed that window of opportunity to do it, because he's now, again, he's at that age where he needs football. He's never going to be able to reach his potential being a bit part player for Liverpool at 23 years old. He might well find in 2 or 3 years' time, he might be at a level when he comes back to the club. But also, we've seen that, you know, we just hinted at his name before there, mentioned Jordan Ibe. You know, we got the buyback on him, which now we're never going to be able to activate because he's now going to be available on a free transfer, and sometimes these things just don't work out for whatever reason. Ben, let's talk Origi then. Look, I think a lot of people have been talking about Divock Origi in the last week or so. We have certainly, but I think it's interesting enough to warrant further discussion. He's another one who falls into the situation. If there was no pandemic, I think you move Divock Origi on no questions this summer. I think him and Lovren in particular, and probably Jaden Shaqiri, Adam Lallana, there's a bunch of lads who are on the fringe, but you've seen all you're ever going to see from them. They can still go, have a good career, earn a good wage and play at a good level, and you probably would take the money and kind of run. But Origi poses a problem. He's still clearly a useful asset. Where do you stand on him?
I think Sunday was sort of, you know, not the final straw because he's obviously a Liverpool player and you back your players. But for me, that Sunday really put into perspective that he's just off the pace. You know, in games like that where he's getting a start and you'd expect him to impose himself on the Aston Villa back line and create opportunities for himself and be a bit of a nuisance, you forget he's playing at times. And, you know, it didn't seem to matter where we put him, you know, centre forward, or I think, you know, he was on the left and he ended up getting stuck out there and isolated out there, and he just wasn't adding anything. I mean, we went to Sheffield United in September, Paul, and he came on and he kind of changed the game a bit. He came out on that left-hand side and he puts in the cross for the goal, and he looked really bright, but he needs to do it more consistently than that. He needs to be, and whether he's just naturally better as an impact sub and that's all he'll ever be, maybe that's the answer. But you could see it must have been difficult for him to see how Firmino came on and just changed the game, because he must be aware of what level above Firmino is.
Yeah, I think the thing with Origi is, you know, he's got the cult following thing, which I think helps. You know, he'll be remembered so very, very fondly at Liverpool, and he deserves to be remembered that fondly. But there is a point where, and we see this happen with squad players, it's very hard for you to stay motivated as a squad player indefinitely. And I think we forget that at times because we presume sometimes that things will carry on as they've always been. And look, he is a centre forward and he wants to be a centre forward. And I'm sure you'd always have this in every football squad. He will know by now himself that he's never going to be Liverpool's first choice. He's never going to be, Klopp's never going to build the team around him. And that then, and it's a very fine balancing act, because if you're happy with that, that's great. But there comes a point where that happiness starts to translate into lack of ambition. And when you've got a bit of a lack of ambition, you then start to have a lack of motivation. You find levels just gradually decrease. And that's why you do have to have a degree of squad churn, Ben, because you do need, he probably just needs something fresh in his career to give him a kick up the arse. It is a very fine balance between you're doing a great job for the team, but or are you just not trying your hardest to fulfil your own potential?
He must be ready now in himself to, as you know, we've had the discussion about Harry Wilson, to be playing regular football. He'll be looking back on his time at Liverpool maybe this summer, and he'll be looking back on the goals he's scored and the moments that he's contributed. he must, he, as it is that ambition, he must be feeling like, okay, I've maybe done what I can now at this club, and I you know, if I leave now, I will be fondly remembered. I can look back myself as a professional on the Barcelona game, the Champions League final, the games against Everton, you know, and things like that. He must be pretty content with his contribution to the club, and he can move on. And there'll be teams in the Premier League that'll take him, and he'll get regular football in England if that's what he wants to do. I get the feeling that he'll probably move abroad if he was to go. But you know, either way, he must be hungry for that regular football by now, and he's certainly at a point in his career where it's probably what he deserves.
Yeah, Ross, what do you think?
I'm torn on Divock Origi. I think with the cult status, and you talk about the Barcelona, Everton, Newcastle, Dortmund home and away goals, he's done some good things for this club. But I feel sorry for the same reason I said about Dejan Lovren, for someone to come in and just go, you know, be very, very good, be as good as we know what Mane should be on that left-hand side. I think is a lot to expect from him when he plays 1-6 or something like that, or, you know, comes on a substitute bench to get some sort of rhythm and, you know, confidence behind him. I think he must really struggle. And for the fact that he's out on the left-hand side, like, that's not a position that he wants to be in. I feel sorry for him in that sense. I got frustrated on Sunday, like Ben says. It felt like an experiment with Divock Origi. You know, he played left, didn't work. Put him in the middle, didn't work. I think he was even on the right-hand side at one point in that game. But then you're changing what Mohamed Salah and Sadio Mane are really good at. You shouldn't be doing that to try and compensate to fit one person in by changing two or three positions in your side. I know the league's done and we've won it, which is fine. But that's like when Ben says the last straw, that felt like a last throw of the dice. Where do you fit in? And that's the problem with Divock Origi. I still don't know where he fits in with his side. Me and Tom went to Chelsea away when we got knocked out the cup. Everything he did was predictable. Again, out on the left-hand side, I do feel sorry for him. But how many times can you keep rolling that dice and it not work for him? And I think he just deserves to move on. But I also think, because of the situation we're in, we keep holding for another year because bodies, money, etc.
That's going to be the big thing, isn't it, Chris? It's something we can't know until we get into it. We keep these lads. We'd all probably say, well, you know what? Given the circumstance, you'd probably keep Lovren and you'd probably keep Origi. That's the unknown. Is that it's all well and good keeping them, but there's no guarantee we get to keep having happy, motivated players. In that time is always going to be this unknown, and you know, and of course, same as like trying to buy players, we just can't. It's such an unusual set of circumstances.
Yeah, it's trying, and you know, I think everybody realizes at the moment that, you know, to stay on top, we are going to need to improve, and that's not necessarily, but most often done through the transfer market. I do wonder whether, you know, I can't see Origi going, because I just, if we're not going to buy anyone, it would be fucking stupid to let him go. And yet I agree with all the points about him not being good enough and not fitting in. And still after all this time, not being able to nail down a place. But look, I'll be all right with him if he stays. Like, I'm not too bothered. But I do think that he becomes the third choice next year. You know, maybe Rian does, you know, fight for that position to begin with. Sorry, maybe. And then you see. And does that push Origi on? Do we see a little bit more out of him? Do we see a return to the impact that he was having last season as opposed to this season? It's all just fucked, isn't it? Because ordinarily, ordinarily, you win the Premier League, you get a prick ton of money in, you're the best side in the world, and you go out and you take your pick of every fucking player. Well, what happens? Liverpool have won the fucking Premier League after 30 years, and we can't spend any money because we've not had fans in the stadium for 6 fucking months. And we don't have a sugar daddy still. So for all that well-run club bullshit that we've had to go through for 10 years to fight tooth and nail for every penny that we've earned, we don't even get to fucking... It's not even bearing fruit at the moment. We're now back into penny-pinching mode so that we can survive. It's just fucked, man.
Yeah. I mean, the positive thing about all of this, Ross, just to kind of give Chris a bit as close a thing as a cuddle as we can in this situation, because I feel like it's gone, is the situation that Liverpool are in with regards to the next generation of stuff coming up underneath. Yes, there are a couple of issues with regard to those like squad players and what you might need to do. And us not being able to refresh that might cause a problem. But we are in a situation where, yes, some of them, like, Harvey Elliott, no expectations on him because he's still so young. But with Harvey Elliott there, with Brewster there, with Jones there, and with Nico Williams, there's four lads there who, if they're going to be good enough, there's a real window of opportunity for them being presented the rest of this season and into next season, where kind of like what's happened with Chelsea, this could be the making of those lads, you know. And this is what I say about like Harry Wilson. If Harry Wilson was 19 and in this situation, it might have been enough for Harry Wilson to be a Liverpool player, because sometimes you've just got to go in, you've got to get your opportunity and you've got to grab it and not let go. And that might be the thing that really is the making of Liverpool for the coming years, because you might say we might not have the money to spend, but we might prove that we don't need the money to spend.
It's like four new signings, Paul.
Oh, God, yeah, don't phrase it like that.
Close to saying it. Can we get It's All Just Fucked on the next Redmen t-shirt with Chris Pajak underneath?
It's All Just Fucked. No, we need to start selling the It Could Be Worse t-shirt again.
I think that's what he's doing. I said about experiment with Divock Origi. I think he's doing that with the young players now. And then especially with the five substitutions, that plays into your hands a lot more. You know, the league's done. You can say we'll go for the points stuff, but you know what's more important is it breaking a points record, or is it getting these lads experience? You know, not getting experience, but getting used to the system, the tactics, the experience being playing behind closed doors in big stadiums, you know, home and away, getting used to the surroundings around them. I think, you know, Nico Williams is he's not proved himself, but he's shown very good glimpses of what he's capable of filling in and giving me as a fan confidence. If, you know, if Trent's injured, he can do something right back there. Harvey Elliott, I don't think we've seen too much of, but the, you know, from all the talk and, you know, obviously signing a new deal and stuff, you know, the interest and the hype around him is pretty real. So, you know, maybe we just change things slightly. Maybe Harvey Elliott is the answer. We don't know. You know, I'm not saying put too much pressure on an expectancy, but you know they know behind the scenes how good he is to sign a new deal. I don't think he'd go out on loan anywhere, because I just don't think you loan him out at all. But you know, he's, you know, again, he's unpredictable in how he plays, and he's shown he's got the confidence behind him against Arsenal of all teams, which he was fairly decent at. I know it was a second string Arsenal team, but the confidence is there. Why not use him?
Liverpool's big issue is still that the senior players and the best players we've got are still in their prime. And the lads we've got underneath have got a hell of a job on the case to try and, you know, oust those at the moment. The gap between those, the rest of the players we've got, is too big. What?
Who's got the phone vibrating? Tom.
Phone.
That's the thing, is that unless the lads who are 24 to 26 are ready to step up, and that's the problem with Origi, is he's 25, he could be about to have a big breakout, but I just don't think he suits the style of how we play to be able to get that at Liverpool. That you might be worth, it might knock us back, you know, we might not necessarily be at the level, but it's what it does for, not necessarily for next season, but for the season after and the season after that, we'll see the benefits for having these lads play more games time. Let's get a quick question before we wrap up from one of our Redmen TV subscribers. If you want to join up at Club Legend level, you get access to exclusive Discord group and you can commit questions to this podcast. We've got some brilliant ones, we just don't have time for them, unfortunately. But Paul RB68 asks the question, has anyone tried vegan cheese? He says he has and it's shite. Chris, have you tried vegan cheese?
I'm not about it, mate.
I ain't about that vegan cheese. Anyone? No, I can't. What's the point?
I have tried
normal cheese, so I'm not going to try vegan cheese.
Okay. I have tried one vegan cheese in my life, and that was, it was a hard cheese similar to Parmesan. I think it was like a Grano Padano or something like that, but the problem is it was billed as a vegetarian cheese, but this is naughty. Like it had animal rennet in it. I know.
Dun, dun, dun.
I know, right?
You know what's funny? Sorry, Ross. The funny about the vegan thing is that, like, we're not so far removed from like it being so unknown a thing that I genuinely thought it was just a smart way of saying vegetarian, and sold a couple of people vegetarian breakfast saying they were vegan. But anyway, go on, Ross. Have you had vegan cheese?
No, it's not cheese. It's lies.
Jeez, it's lies. I think we need that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, definitely. But this is the point of it all, isn't it? Like, I'm all right with eating things that aren't meat, but you don't have to shape me broccoli as a burger. You know, you'd have to shape me broccoli and sell it as a broccoli nugget. Like, when it's not fucking meat. You know what I mean? Why do you have to do it with the vegetarian shit? It's like, oh, yeah, but vegetarian nuggets. Fucking just call it vegetables if that's what it is. Like, I'm fine with that. Stop shaping it like things.
I agree. In
gotta make it exciting somehow, though, haven't you? Sorry, Ben.
Go on, Ben.
In September, I did something for uni at the Caledonia in town, which is a completely free meat-free pub. And she brought me out all this food to sort of take shots of and film. And then she said, oh, you can talk into it if you want. And like,
did you?
Well, yeah, I tried something because I was like, you know what? I don't eat much vegetarian food, so maybe I'll like it. And there was these little, like, what was supposed to be popcorn chicken. And I put these things in my mouth and... Like, to this day, I've got no idea what it was, but it just wasn't chicken.
Someone clip that up.
I was in this pub in town and I put these little balls in my mouth and I didn't know what it was.
But just, why are you trying to tell me it's chicken? It's not chicken. It's just not chicken. And it just wasn't very nice. And
I think it's important that people probably do eat less meat and all that type of stuff and everything. I'm absolutely fine with all of that, right? I'm okay with that. That makes sense to me. Just stop dressing it up like meat.
Why spend all that time preaching something and how good it is, only to make it look like the thing that you don't want it to be?
Absolutely.
And vegan cheese, as somebody said in the comments, it doesn't melt very well. It's not fucking cheese.
We had to get a super chat in, so we'll answer this one as briefly as we can. Stephen Somerville with the super chat says, what position needs the most fixing for use? Is it as simple as saying left back or back up goalkeeper, Chris?
I was thinking my missionary needs a bit of work.
Wow. I mean, that's fundamentals, that, Chris. That's your short game.
Sometimes you get away from them, though, don't you? So you just got to go back to them.
It's back up, left back.
Ross? Centre-back cause concern for me, which I know we briefly touched on the topic, but like if Lovren does go, Matip's injury record isn't great. He's injured again because he's hurt his toe. I think it's too much pressure on Keanu Hoover and Nat Phillips to come into the fold for Liverpool. And there's people out there that you can go and get, like a Ben White, or, you know, and the question that I put in was like, you know, if Bournemouth or Villa get relegated, would you go in for a Nathan Aké or a Tyrone Mings? I suspect there'll be too much money and too much wages for a short-term thing. But it's a concern for me.
I'd be all over Nathan Aké, by the way. I think he's a really good player.
Missionary.
I don't know, my missionary game doesn't actually. I'm fine, my fundamentals are solid. Ben,
I think fixing is a strong word.
Shut up.
I'm not going to comment. I think fixing is a strong word for our squad. I think we're a long way off needing to fix anything. I think in terms of squad depth, centre back, left back, and probably something going forward as well, as we discussed. But I think if you were going to look at the starting 11, where could you improve upon the starting 11? For me, it is in that central midfield. I think, you know, maybe the sign of Thiago in a way makes sense if that's going to happen, because I think if you swapped him for Wijnaldum, I think that would be an improvement on our starting 11, personally. But that is splitting hairs. It's sort of very, you know, carefully trying to find somewhere in the 11 to improve, you know. So that's where I'd change things for me.
Yeah, for me, again, it's largely all in backup. And it's about, again, whether how many of the lads on the fringes can be are really going to be at the same level again because of the situation that they're in. And knowing, you know, you're banging your head on a door, you're turning up to training and you're working your bollocks off and you're pouring every ounce of your person into it, because that's what Klopp demands. And all you ever are is a substitute or someone who comes in and plays 30 minutes here or 60 minutes there. You know, that's where our issues are. And again, the left back thing, Milner being our backup left back is okay for a bit, but at some point that's going to start to be a major pressing concern. And for me, if I had to go, and it's maybe a little bit, we do need a backup goalkeeper. We do need a backup left back, but we need someone who is faster than Salah and Mane to go in the front three, because I think both of them are going to, you know, they're heading towards this. Salah's not got the pace, quite got the same pace that he had when he first came to us. And that's just a natural thing that happens with wear and tear. I just a young special something, or, you know, again, and that's why it would have been Werner, but Willian would do in the short term, because at least you're bringing someone in with stupid pace to add to the front three. But yeah, someone else who does that, because I don't think Minamino's got that. I don't think Brewster's necessarily that type of player. And then really, once you, other than that, you're lacking a touch. But go on, Ben.
It would be a bold move because he's not proven in the Premier League, but that side, Benrahma at Brentford's doing bits at the moment in the Championship. And if they don't come up, I think he can play either side of a front three, left or right. And I think, you know, I don't know how much he'd cost, but I think it would be worth looking at, because he is quick and he does have he scored a hat-trick at the weekend. So, you know, he does have a scoring touch as well. I just thought that I'd throw me two pence in there with that one, because I think he's worth looking at.
Clip that up as well for when Ben's right.
Let's probably just treat Manchester United like the terrible football club that they are and go and buy Greenwood.
Yeah, I'm Rashford. Why not? Bring them over as mates. Yes, right, okay. Thank you so much for that, guys. Thank you very much for everyone who's joined us live. If you listen to this after the fact in podcast form, do give us a 5-star review on your native podcasting app. If you want more from us, we're going to be live once again for the match. The Fan Zone will be kicking off 45 minutes before kickoff, live once again on the YouTube channel. Come and see us over here for that. Keep your suggestions coming in for what Liverpool should do in the transfer market in the comments. And if you want more of that sort of stuff, the Reds News Roundup show is on the redmentv.com. Ross will be involved in that, so yeah, you can make sure that you get over to there, and that's our weekly show where we discuss all transfers, all the big news stories, and that is exclusive to the subscribers. Oh yes, and of course, don't forget, Chris is live at 3 p.m. today on Tuesday with more Football Manager, with their streaming legend, the biggest UK Football Manager streamer, Dr. Benji, is alongside Chris Pajak, who was the man of that title in waiting. So tune in for all that. And, see you guys all very, very soon. Ta-da.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.